10 major Wall Street firms have agreed to pay $1.4 billion to state and federal authorities for intentionally misleading investors. They were accused of raking in billions of dollars with bad stock tips. On Capitol Hill yesterday, senators questioned whether the companies have been punished sufficiently. Here's the chairman of the Senate Banking Committee, Richard Shelby.
I believe that the Wall Street culture must change from the top down. And I'm not convinced that the global settlement has done enough to change attitudes at the top of these banks.
The Wall Street firms also have agreed to limit contact between stock analysts and bankers, which, investigators allege, led to the corruption. Public television will broadcast a documentary on the scandal tonight. NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams spoke to the senior producer of The Wall Street Fix.
The documentary focuses on undercover dealings between WorldCom and Citigroup from the late 1990s through 2001. Stockbrokers at Citigroup allegedly encouraged investors to buy WorldCom stock even when the company was failing. Senior producer and correspondent Hedrick Smith says the documentary examines the relationship between WorldCom CEO Bernie Ebbers and telecom stock analyst Jack Grubman, as well as former Solomon Smith Barney broker David Chacon.
In order to hang on to the business and attract the business of a company like WorldCom, a bank like Salomon Smith Barney gives kid glove treatment. It sets up a special boutique brokerage only to cater to enormously wealthy patrons and particularly CEOs like WorldCom. And Jack Grubman, the analyst who's working with Bernie Ebbers on behalf of his bank, steers Bernie Ebbers to this brokerage, and they get shares of hot IPOs to allocate to a guy like Bernie Ebbers. And as the company reported to Congress, Bernie Ebbers made $11 million on a series of IPOs, and David Chacon goes on and tells us that's not the half of it. They made much more money. Bernie Ebbers made much more money from Salomon through more IPOs that weren't even mentioned in the report to Congress.
Some of the chief executives of these high-tech firms were being catered to, but catered is not sufficiently strong language.
I said it's sweetheart deals. I mean, they're being handed free money, and that's so they can, in effect, buy his business. They buy his loyalty by giving him personal money, and he makes sure that WorldCom does its banking with Salomon Smith Barney.
It's just unbelievable from the perspective of the average investor in Wall Street. But in fact, the corruption goes even farther.
Now, what's going on here is that Bernie Ebbers wants to convert some of the wealth that he has in WorldCom stock into hard assets outside the company. But if he, as the CEO, starts selling stock in WorldCom, it's going to send the price of the stock down. People are going to get alarmed. Hey, why is the CEO selling the stock? So Citigroup comes up with this idea. We'll give you a loan. And what Bernie Ebbers does is he buys 500,000 acres of timberland with trees on it that he can harvest and sell off the lumber across Mississippi, Tennessee, and Alabama. He later buys a ranch in Louisiana. He buys ocean-going yachts. He buys a boatyard. He buys a ranch in Canada, not just any ranch, but the biggest ranch in all of Canada. And they're fairly careful. At the beginning, the collateral for the loans is the land itself. But later on, when he buys the ranch in Canada, the information we got from the attorneys who are suing WorldCom and suing the banks on behalf of New York State employees, their information is that that loan for the Canadian ranch was backed by WorldCom stock. So this is a conflict of interest that goes way beyond anything that's been revealed to the public.
When you say on behalf of New York State employees, what you mean is people who had their pensions invested in that stock on the basis of recommendations of Citigroup.
That's right. One part of the empire is making a loan to Bernie Ebbers and then taking stock as collateral, and another part of the Citigroup empire is saying to the customers and the investors, buy the stock. The investors are listening, thinking they're getting objective advice, and on the other hand, what the attorney, Sean Coffey, is saying, they're not being told that Citigroup is already in bed with Bernie Ebbers for other reasons. And by the way, another part of Citigroup's empire, Travelers, was actually a business partner of Bernie Ebbers. So there's nothing objective going on here at all. This is all insiders scratching each other's back to the disadvantage of ordinary investors.
And the advice of the banks, Rick Smith, really then was contributing to this bubble economy during the 1990s when everyone thought these high-tech telecom stocks were going to continue to grow and grow and grow. the big lie cost little people their investments.
You have one bad story on top of another, Juan. What's going on here is that nobody knew how rapidly telecom was growing, what demand was going to be from the internet, from corporations transmitting masses and mountains of data all across the country. The telephone industry responded too slowly at first in the early 90s. Then they began to build up a head of steam, and WorldCom, and part of WorldCom called UUNET, put out this estimate that demand for capacity in telecommunications was doubling every 90 days. That's enormously fast. That's like 16 times a year. In fact, it wasn't growing that fast except for one very short period. But when the people discovered it inside the telecommunications industry and they protested and they tried to tell people on Wall Street that it wasn't growing that fast, that we didn't need to build all that capacity, they kept right on building anyway. Nobody wanted to hear the story. They said, go away. This is a gravy train. We're all making lots of money. It was a fib about the demand and the capacity that was needed. And the banks in Wall Street were pumping this because they were making enormous money helping these companies with mergers and acquisitions, helping them float debt, helping them sell their stock, helping them bring out IPOs. The banks were making hundreds of millions of dollars by pumping this, and nobody wanted to hear the truth because they were making too much money.
Hedrick Smith, senior producer and correspondent for the documentary The Wall Street Fix. It airs on PBS stations tonight. Juan Williams, NPR News, Washington.